Good
Good
morning.
morning. Deputy Minister Apela and your team. Unfortunately, my office didn't give me the list of your team. So, but I know the team, the delegation is led by you. Welcome. Welcome, honorable members and officials from Parliament. Our meeting, as already indicated, we have got only two items. The first item is the introduction, is the briefing by the Department of Traditional Affairs on the Traditional Affairs General Amendment Bill, B16 of 2022. And then the adoption, discussion and adoption of the Free State and Eastern Cape Oversight Reports. Those are the two items. But maybe formally, let me start by accepting apologies if there are any, Sharon, or whoever is delegated by. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. These apologies from Honorable Nkalipi. She will be attending the ADA committee meeting. There's also an apology from Honorable Spies that will be joining the meeting late. There's an apology from the minister. She's attending cabinet meeting today. Apology from DM Nkadimeng that was urgently requested to attend a meeting of SCOPA in Free State. There's also an apology from the parliamentary law advisor, Ms. Pumelela Ngema. She's doing a presentation on the expropriation bill this morning, but she has consulted with the department. And yes, in the next meeting, she will be available. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, you are muted. We can't hear you.
Oh, you can see that I'm talking. No, I heard some noise at the background, so I thought it might be me. Sorry, I was saying we should note the apologies, but if there are any further apologies from members, I'll take those as we proceed. And the agenda as set out, any proposal for adopting the agenda? Honorable members? Or should I assume it's given because we have invited you on the basis of that agenda?
Morning, yeah. Chair.
Morning.
I rise to adopt the agenda, the proposal agenda.
Yes.
Recording stopped.
Chairperson?
Yes. Professor.
Are we forming a quorum before the adoption?
I didn't even ask that. I assumed. Sharon, are we forming the quorum?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Tsaza.
And I must move for the secondment, Chair.
So the agenda is adopted. Let me just make just few remarks. First, to welcome members from the long constituency period. And I hope they are beginning to be ready for this. It's going to be a short term between now and the 23rd of September. But I think we need to do more. In the agenda itself, we're talking about lawmaking, which I think we have been saying we are not so fast in terms of dealing with this. But we just got a bonus where the president signed the last piece of legislation that we passed in parliament. But my challenge on this would be to say, as people who are finally or primarily responsible for making laws, we should champion what one would call public education about these laws. Because generally the feedback that we are getting from our constituency, it looks like the laws that we make are for us. They are not for them. And they would even deny that they have been consulted. So I would suggest that let's find a way to educate the public about the laws and possible impact these laws can have in changing what we are supposed to see. Governance, good governance at that local level, delivery of services, minimizing. Well, somebody fought with me when I said we want to minimize the death of initiates. So the issue of bad governance, the laws that we passed are meant to deal with that. But let's educate the public. Let's not leave it to analysts only to talk about these laws that we have passed. So let's hear members, and so that we can make people understand that there are laws, and ultimately, in the final analysis, they are the beneficiaries of such laws. So one of the items here would be talking about the law, and I think we need to emphasize this issue. I just thought I should make those remarks and also indicate that whilst we may not have enough time to do oversight as members of parliament, but as we interact with communities in our various areas of work, we should also be able to make sure that we help communities raise questions. And we must help communities get responses when they raise such questions. So in a way, we must find a way to coordinate such responses such that people might, through their public representatives, be able to interact with government. I thought I should raise those issues.
We lost you in between. You are not hearing what you are saying. Yes, we lost you.
But what I said is not long. I'm saying as lawmakers, we must help communities to understand the contents of the law. Let's not leave that to analysts only. So in other words, we want to hear members of parliament talking to, for instance, the recent law that has been signed by the president, because I think that piece of legislation would have a good impact in local government. So I was just emphasizing that it's just a principle to say communities at times, they say we make laws for ourselves. Maybe it's because we are not doing enough in terms of public education. So those were just a few comments I wanted to make, and immediately move to item number one in terms of the agenda. Allow the Deputy Minister to introduce the item and direct it as he would know who must come in to do what. Over to you, Honorable Apela.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to you and all honorable members.
Chairperson, something that is...
I don't know now who is making that noise. Okay.
Should I continue?
Continue, yes.
Okay, thank you. I will say greetings to you and all honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, and also to the DG Dipofa, who is leading the team here, also joined by DG Avril Williamson, who is also part of the meeting, and other officials from the department, and your officials from government. Honorable members, we thank you very much for inviting us and giving us this opportunity as Department of Traditional Affairs. We are here, obviously, to present on some technical amendments to our legislation that requires attention, and introduce this through what we call the Traditional Affairs General Amendment Bill. As members will be aware that the Traditional and Quaisen Leadership Act number 3 of 2019 came into operation on the 1st of April 2021. At the time of the finalization of the act, government was also busy with the Municipal Structures Act, a bill at the time. The bill has since also been finalized into act. However, there are certain references in these pieces of legislation that needs to be amended and be aligned in order to ensure legal certainty. These are more technical amendments and do not affect the substance of these pieces of legislation. Therefore, the presentation will then be able to explain what are the technical amendments and what is it that we are proposing going forward. DG Dipofa has a team, and I understand Dr. Bester will be the one presenting, but let me give to DG Dipofa then to introduce the team. Thank you very much, Chair.
DG? DG, where are you now?
My apologies, Honorable. I hope I'm audible. My microphone was not cooperating on this side. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, our Deputy Minister, Honorable Babela, all the honorable members of the committee. Good morning, and indeed, as the Honorable Deputy Minister has indicated, the presentation will be led by our Chief Director responsible for legislative drafting, Dr. Rinaldi Bester. Through you, Chairperson, if I could hand over to Dr. Bester to do the presentation.
Yes.
Honorable Mabika, Chair.
This is my Mabika. Honorable Mabika. I was opening here so that I can see who is making noise. Honorable Mr. Bester, you can continue.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Can I just ask whether Shireen will put the presentation on screen, or can I do it?
Whatever that is easy to do.
Okay, let
In
me
fact,
share.
I think they can hear you. If there's anybody who can assist, that would be good. Thank you. We can see it.
Okay. I hope it's going to move up and down also. Yeah, this presentation is on Zoom sometimes. Okay, I'm going to try and do this. It looks like when I put it on slide mode, Honorable Chairperson, it doesn't want to move up and down with the pages. It's a very short presentation, Honourable Chair and members. As Deputy Minister was saying, the purpose of this is really just to, of the presentation, is to point out to the Honourable Members the reasons for technical amendments that are to be affected to Section 81 of the Structures Act, and then also Section 16 of the Traditional Khoisan Leadership Act, better known as the TKLA, and then also the reason for the proposed repeal of Section 30 of the Local Government Municipal Structures Act. So, Honourable Members, Section 81 of the Structures Act deals with the participation of traditional leaders in municipal council proceedings. Through the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Act that Deputy Minister Papela was referring to, a new Section 81 was introduced, and that Section 81 also commenced on 1 April 2021, the date on which the TKLA commenced. Now, in terms of Section 81... Honourable Chair, I'm hearing other... I'm not sure whether I should stop or continue.
No. Chair, if I may, I will propose that members really take the meeting seriously and switch off. This is legislation we're dealing with. There are details here. And if we're getting these disturbances, really they disturb our thought process, Chair. Please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. So in terms of Section 81, that is now the new one, but also the old one that has been replaced. The Code of Conduct that was contained in the Systems Act also applied to traditional leaders who participate in the municipal council proceedings. And therefore, this Section 81 has a couple of references to the Code of Conduct as it appears in the Systems Act. But the members of the Portfolio Committee will remember that in, I think it was since 2018, they were dealing with the Municipal Structures Amendment Act, or Bill at the time, which became law in 2021. And in terms of that Structures Amendment Act of 2021, that Code of Conduct was actually removed from the Systems Act and placed into the Structures Act as Schedule 7 to the Structures Act. So as a result of this, the references to the Code of Conduct, as it appears in the new Section 81 that came into operation through the TKLA, are outdated because they still refer to the Code of Conduct as it appeared in the Systems Act. And those technical amendments are therefore brought through Clause 1 of the bill to make sure that we refer to the correct Code of Conduct as it now appears in the Structures Act. Then in Section 30 of the Municipal Structures Amendment Act of 2021 contained an amendment to Section 81 of the Structures Act. However, that particular amendment that was in the 2021 Act refers to the Section 81 before it was amended by the Traditional Khoisan Leadership Act. In other words, it refers to, or it tries to amend text that does not exist anymore. And honorable members may have noticed that when the president signed the commencement proclamations of the Structures Amendment Act of 2021, Section 30 was particularly excluded from commencement, because if it was to commence, it was going to try and amend something that doesn't exist anymore. So although it was excluded from the commencement proclamations, honorable chair and members, it will remain on the statute if we do not repeal it. And Clause 3 of the bill then contains this particular repeal. And then the last amendment is to Section 16 of the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Act. A couple of years ago, the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Bill went through a very thorough parliamentary process. And as part of that process, there was an amendment made to Section 16.3, paragraph A. This particular section talks about a forum that must be consulted by our traditional leaders when they do the selection part of their councils. Honorable members will know that all these councils, the kingship councils, principal councils, the traditional councils, they have a 60 and a 40% component. The 40% is the elected component, and then the 60% component is the selected component. And What the section requires is that the traditional leaders, when they do the selection, that they have to consult a forum consisting of members of the royal family. But the manner in which that section was amended, which was not realized at the time, was to have a cross-reference to another forum that is provided for in the Act. But when we looked at that last year, Honorable Chair and members, we realized that there might be an interpretation challenge, because that forum that it is cross-referenced to looks like it's applicable to kings and queens and principal traditional leaders, but not necessarily to your senior traditional leaders. So to provide legal certainty, there's an amendment proposed in clause 2 of the bill to amend this particular section 16.3a so that there's clarity on which forum the leaders must consult when they do the selection of their council members. And then lastly, Chairperson, these amendments, as Honorable Deputy Melissa Papella mentioned, are really just of a technical nature, and the whole purpose of it is to ensure legal certainty. There are no financial implications or constitutional implications or any of that in these technical amendments. The bill, as honorable members will know, was tabled in Parliament on 29 July this year. And then what I also picked up in the past few days, honorable chair and members, is that the tagging of the bill was confirmed as a Section 76 bill that appeared in the ATC 121 of 19 August 2022. And then last night, I think it's ATC 122, I noticed that the bill was officially referred by Parliament to the National House of Traditional Khoisan Leaders for the inputs. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members, and thank you for the presentation. I'm not sure, before I open the discussion, Honorable Papella, if there's anything you want to say.
No, Chairperson, I think let's wait for questions, yes, so that we could then clarify as we go along. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Members, it's your turn. I'll take hands as I see them. I see the hand of Honorable Brink, Honorable Tessa. Let's follow that order, Honorable Brink.
Thank you very much, Chair. I take the presentation and the point that it is technical amendments. I just wanted, Chair, to make certain that we're not going to go clause by clause today, because I think members just need to consider this presentation first before we jump into that. There seems to be a sense of urgency here, but I just wanted to confirm that, Chairperson, that we'll do clause by clause at a later.
Yes, I think we'll do clause by clause later, because as it was indicated, it has already been referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders and Khoisan. I think so, but they will still respond if it is not. Honorable Tessa.
No. Thank you very much, Chair. I like to ask stupid questions when it comes to legislation, because somehow, Chair, as you know, as a former teacher, you would understand that every time we deal with these things, they are new, so we need to be taken through in detail. The first one, Chair, is to let's get an understanding on why is it called the Traditional Affairs General Amendment Bill. Underlining general, I just want to get an understanding there, Chair. Maybe Dr. Bessel can bring us to confidence there. And the second one, Chair, I know that the bill has been referred to National House of Traditional and Khoisan Leaders for their inputs. Whether the committee will then wait for that process and so we can continue with the engagement, Chair. And uh, the others have been covered by Honorable Brink Chair. I know that in some instances there are no traditional leaders like Cape Metro, Johannesburg, Stellenbosch, Ekurhuleni, some areas like that. What would this traditional affairs general amendment bill amount to in areas where that is not applicable, Chair? And lastly, some of the traditional leadership have pulled out from Cordialesa. Will it be a cut across approach to every a traditional leader, whether in inside Cordialesa or outside? Chair, I just want to ask those stupid questions so that I have somewhere where I begin.
No, it's not stupid questions, it's questions. In fact, I stopped myself when I was trying to be Honorable Bapela and trying to respond to Honorable Brink. So questions, in fact, members of parliament are there to ask questions. I don't see any further hands now. Can I then hand over to you, Honorable Bapela, and your team?
Chairperson, let the official start with the technical aspects of the questions, and I'll follow up with the broader political context.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair and members. Let me go first. Honourable Member asked a very interesting question about the name of the bill being called the Traditional Affairs General Amendment Bill. The reason for the name is the bill contains amendments to different pieces of legislation. It contains amendments to the Structures Act. It also contains the repeal of that particular Section 30 to the Structures Amendment Act of 2021. And then it contains an amendment to the Traditional Khoisan Leadership Act. They are all related, these particular provisions, to traditional affairs matters or traditional leadership matters. And therefore, it's called a general amendment bill. Usually, when you do amendments to different pieces of legislation, it's just called a general amendment bill with some word or words before the general amendment to specify, you know, whether this is like justice general amendment bill or Health General Amendment Bill, in this case, Traditional Affairs General Amendment Bill. Honorable Chair and members are correct. The bill, as I said, was referred to the National House by Parliament in terms of, I think it's Section 39, if I remember correctly, of the TKLA that requires that legislation of this nature must be referred to the National House. In terms of the Traditional Khoisan Leadership Act, the National House has a specific time frame within which they must respond. I think it is 60 days. Maximum 60 days, and what the Act says that if the National House does not respond within that particular time in writing to the committee or to Parliament, then it will be assumed that the National House supports the particular legislation. Now, the National House, as honourable members may know, is still being reconstituted. The term of the National House ended end of June this particular year, 2022. But and while they are still being reconstituted, the new National House, the Act also makes provision for the House whose term ended on 30 June to continue to deal with urgent business. So anything, for example, like the referral of legislation by Parliament to the National House will still be dealt with by the outgoing members of the House. And then the other question that I will deal with is, Honourable Member referred or asked a question about traditional leaders, whether they are members of Cordialesa or any other institution. Well, the traditional leadership legislation applies to all recognized traditional leaders, irrespective of whether they are members of any other institutions or not. So if they are a lot of, even we have even Khoisan persons who are members of Cordialesa, but they are not yet recognized. But the legislation applies to all recognized kings, queens, principal traditional leaders, senior traditional leaders, headmen, headwomen. And then once they are recognized, then also it will apply to the senior Khoisan leaders and the branch heads from the Khoisan side. There was a third question just before that one that I couldn't hear, Honorable Chair. I don't know whether my DG or DM Papella heard. At that moment, I think Honorable Member was breaking up a little bit. So, but let me ask my DG or DM Papella, maybe if they heard that and can respond to that one. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members.
Yes. Okay.
Honorable Chair, thanks, Dr. Bastard, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and Honorable Deem. I think there's two questions. One was asked by Honorable Brink, and Chairperson, you did speak to that, that there will still be an opportunity to do a gloss-by-gloss analysis of these three technical amendments that are being proposed. And indeed, we will avail ourselves to appear before the committee for that gloss-by-gloss analysis. And then the third question by Honorable Tseza was about, actually two more questions from Honorable Tseza. One was about districts and metros where there are no traditional leaders and whether whatever amendments get effected will have a bearing on those districts where they are no traditional leaders. And then of course the next question was about the implications for traditional leaders who are leaving Contra Lesa and have decided to opt out of the membership of Contra Lesa, whether they this will also apply to them despite the fact that they have opted out of Contra Lesa. I'll talk to the one about metros and districts that we generally look at about 31, 32 districts in the country in which the institution of traditional leadership exists. So when we talk about traditional leadership, we refer to those particular districts because where there is no traditional leadership, the provisions that we have in these legislations end up not applying. So for instance, if we say there must be a forum that gets established and consulted when a traditional council is established or when a principal traditional leadership is the council is established, in that particular district, there would not be a recognized traditional leader and therefore there would not be a traditional council. And so whatever we say about forums and so on will also not be applying. In those particular districts, if we say traditional leaders should participate in traditional councils, and Section 81 speaks to their participation in traditional councils, there would not be traditional leaders in those districts. And therefore, the issues about traditional leaders participating in councils in those districts will not apply. Where it may apply later is if we have, for example, in the Western Cape, the Honorable Member mentions the Western Cape, where we have Khoi and San leaders now that become recognized, who were not recognized before. So then you will then have the particular provisions beginning to apply. The last one, probably Honorable Deputy Minister might want to advise on it, which relates to Contra Lesa and other members. Traditional leaders that are opting out of Contra Lesa membership, and the relevance of this bill amendment to them. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
DM.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the questions from Honorable Member Steza and Honorable Member Brink, and I think. The questions from Honorable Brink have been satisfactorily answered. That opportunity will definitely arise at the point when we deal with the bill itself, clause by clause. And today we are just presenting and introducing it so that members can then be aware that the bill is now being referred to Parliament. And while still being considered by the National House, it will still come back to the portfolio. With whatever the House will have said and which you might also consider based on their own views and opinions that will then be accompanying the bill at the time. at the end, the legislative power, it's yourself as portfolio committee to the National Assembly. The House can only make comments, and then you are at liberty to consider them or not consider them. It depends on how the matters have been presented to the honorable members. And honorable members, the issue of contra lesa. Contra lesa is an extra parliamentary body, more like a civil society grouping. That is the voice of the traditional leaders outside of the institutional establishment. That's why I call it the extra parliamentary. They've got a voice. They are also engaging on issues that may go beyond just the legislative frameworks as a mobilizing organ that says traditional leaders deserve better, and then they will then be fighting and identifying an agenda from time to time on those particular issues. What we then work with is the establishment of the traditional leadership where it exists. It's governed by law, the Traditional and Quiescent Leadership Act. Whether you are a member of Contra Lesa or not, that law subscribes to all of you as traditional leaders and the communities that are under those particular traditional leaders. So that is the law, irrespective of which organization you belong to. And then from there, there are houses. There are what we call local houses. There are also provincial houses up to the national house. That is the structure that is governed by law. And therefore, that's the body that we respond to directly. But it does not mean if there are any extra parliamentary organization that has a voice and they want to government attention or on any matter, we do not listen to them. But the establishment, it's what is in the law. And then the law, therefore, is applicable to every person who's a member of, who's a traditional leader, and then get governed by the same law, irrespective of their membership. So there will be people opting out of Contra Lesa, others joining, others, as you also remember, the historical occasion of Contra Lesa. There was at one point another organization in KwaZulu-Natal that also had its own mobilizing effect around issues of traditional leaders. Those will be extra parliamentary or civil society groups that will always punctuate their voice on matters of traditional leaders, befitting their objectives and their agendas. However, the law will then remain being subscribed by everybody who's a traditional leader. So even the code of conduct of traditional leaders that is being spoken to and which is part of the technical amendments, it goes across irrespective of which organization we belong to. On the quiescent side, there are those quiescents that are members of Contra Lesa. There are those who are not, who are members of the National Quiescent Council. And there are those who belong to other formations other than the National Council of Quiescent Council. And they have the right to exist as lobby groups. However, when it comes to the application of the law, they are treated equally the same and until the law is subjected to any amendments and then so forth. And I think, therefore, we shouldn't be very much worried about people jumping from this organization to that organization. What matters is the governance of the traditional leadership. It's within the law that has been passed by Parliament. The National Quiescent and Traditional Leadership Act is the one that is the principal act. Whatever little amendments that are coming, they will be going to that particular principal act so that we then develop this certainty that we said, unfortunately, it occurred as the Municipal Structures Act came into law and these others came into law. And there's a bit of those uncertainties that we need to harness and ensure, therefore, that they do not arise legally one day where somebody challenges the law on the basis of these particular uncertainties. So I hope we have answered on the questions, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, Unless there's a follow-up, I'll take that. If none, then we'll proceed. Honorable Deputy Minister and your team, the two DGs and the others. For now, I think we are clarified. We'll wait for the next bite when the time comes. So thank you very much. We are stepping off this item now. Moving to this one is ours. But if you want to observe, we don't chase away people from our meetings. Honorable members, we're moving to the second item, the adoption of the Free State and Eastern Cape Oversight Reports. Will then be helped by, I think all of us, we received copies of the reports, I think some time ago, the Free State, but we have just been given. Then the Eastern Cape one as well. Can I hand over for it to be displayed there? We'll move page by page or whatever approach that we agree on. But I think all of us, we have read them. But it will help us to go down. Can we start with the Free State report? When I say let's start with it, I'm asking that it be flighted there. I'm not sure now who is supposed to do.
I'm still busy with it, so it's gonna be flagged up now.
Oh, okay. But as earlier indicated, while he is doing what he is doing, I think we have had the opportunity to go through the reports, but equally they are talking about where we were in terms of the oversight. We still can't see it. Now there's a screen before me. I almost wanted to get into it as well, but I don't know whether it requires that. Mr. Dumezwin.
You can almost say that, Chair.
I wanted to. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, now we can see it, honorable members. The first one, it says draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs on oversight visit to the Free State, 19 to 20 April 2022. All I would be looking for is we'll move page by page. If there's anything you want to correct, honorable members, you are free to do so. I can see the first paragraph and the delegation. We move, but you can stop me anywhere where you want to stop me. I'm even giving permission for people just to speak if I don't see your hand. Honorable Msimang.
Chair.
I'm not sure if you want to say something.
Yes, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I want to check where, as I was going through this report, colleagues might correct me, maybe I missed it while I was reading. The issue of the powers that were removed from the district municipalities to local municipalities, that was sharply raised in two of the districts in Free State. I'm not sure whether it is captured in the report or it might be the issue of maybe the wording that has been used in order to capture it. So I was saying, it's something that when they were raising, it touched my mind and I could not forget it. And maybe as I was reading here, I could not then pick up. But of course, colleagues can then be able to then bring light into me to say, no, look, this is how we have captured it. I'm not sure whether we might assist each other in terms of packaging it in terms of the wedding or maybe leave it the way it is. I'm not sure. Thanks, Chair.
No, I agree with you, but we'll allow the officials to comment if it is written, but it was raised. So it's an issue that must be in the report. So we'll allow that. Yes.
Sorry, Chair, I think we will come across it when we do the committee observations and recommendations.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Let's move then. No, Subalega, don't rush. So that if there's anything that can, you can move. Hey, don't run.
Kaloku sihlala ukuthi asefundile.
Kodwa ke sisafuna nokuphinda siyijonge.
Tholondo andile. Loo ndo mna nandi nge kwa nama nteta ndo.
Unyansi ile tula.
Oh, move.
This 316, it's okay. Also in a way dealing with this thing of removal of functions from local to the district. I mean from the district to the local, because the fresh produce market also was taken over by Matcha Bank, and that has reversed progress in the district. So this is one way, but there will be more ways of capturing it as we move along.
Okay.
Chair.
Yes.
Chair, I didn't get what Mr. Solomon was saying.
No, he was saying
on 316.
he was pointing to 316 to say one element of it, this which was being asked by Honorable Msimang, is captured in that item, in that 316. But he's saying further, it would be clarified. He was just pointing out which Honorable Msimang was saying it doesn't reflect in the report.
So 4.31 also captures the issue raised by Honorable Msimang.
Okay, yeah. You can move.
nangu no player ke simfakile isihlalo lo akunike ingxaki ba
ngiyambona ngibona u player lo
And then Chair, also on 7.2, a recommendation is made that the rationale behind the removal of these powers from districts should be clarified to the committee.
Yes.
Chairperson, that is the end of the report.
Yes, thank you very much. Honorable members, that is the end of the report. If there are any issues, in fact, what was coming to my mind now immediately, it's because it was in April when we were in the Free State. There were issues where we said we must be given feedback. I just wanted to talk about this as a principle, this principle of follow-up, consistent follow-up on issues that we that get raised. But I'm saying to officials, it would help at times to deal with that. Honorable DM.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think going through the processes of committee's reports. This is the work of the committee. Obviously, there are matters that might later be referred to COCTA, those that are COCTA-related nationally, and some are COCTA-related in the provinces where you had made the oversight visits, and some will directly be to the municipalities. I'll therefore ask if you could then depart, but if officials want to stay, it's up to them. But at that point, obviously, the reports were also circulated to us as by virtue of us being members of the portfolio committee. But they obviously, we'll wait for the official referral on those issues that will have been identified by the portfolio committee for response. And at a given time, we'll then come back to the responses as and when dictated to. So can I ask that we be released from the meeting?
Actually, that's what I indicated earlier, because it is obvious this thing must still be processed properly and be referred, as you are saying. But we also didn't want to chase you away. We don't chase anybody away from the committee. It's open. but I think we understand that it must come proper to the department, to a municipality, and to whoever it gets referred. So in other words, I don't expect members here to expect answers from you. We are talking ourselves.
Okay.
Honorable Groenewald, you are released, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Unless Honorable Groenewald
is objecting. Unless you want to. Yeah.
Chair, I object for the Deputy Minister to leave. We need someone.
Let's not make it an item, whatever. But let's hear you, Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, now, I just want to ask Andile, in few of these municipalities, we raised the question in terms of Section 139 interventions. I couldn't pick it up in the report, but I know in the first meeting we had, we raised that question, and we asked the report, because if I can remember correctly, and I stand to be corrected, but especially Maluti Apefong was removed from Section 139 intervention, although the financials are still in house. So maybe I've missed that, Andile, but I don't see it in the recommendations as well, to say that there must be a report in terms of the Section 139 interventions to the Portfolio Committee.
Okay, noted. Honorable Mpumza.
Chair, good morning to you and good morning to honorable members. Chair, following up on your comment on follow-ups, as well as piggybacking on what honorable DM Babela was saying, mine, Chair, is more on follow-ups in this form, not relevant or specific to this specific draft report. That question has reminded me that we had an oversight over KZN, Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape. But the particularly, Chair, there are issues. For instance, I don't remember the committee, unless Mr. Solomane would say otherwise. I don't remember us as the committee receiving the draft report related to the virtual oversight that we had in the Eastern Cape with the district of Matole and Owardam. And whilst we were in Limpopo, there were critical issues that were raised in the district of Vembe and the problematic Mogalakwena. And as we're interacting there were indication, there was a promise that as the committee would have a follow-up on those matters as part of oversight, particularly in Limpopo. And we had not made that particular follow-up. And secondly, I'm saying we have not received that report. On the same point, whilst we had heard those engagements virtually with the Eastern Cape, a matter was sharply raised there because of the problematic nature of that particular virtual oversight with the two district municipalities in the Eastern Cape. And the committee had resolved that it would have, as we did with other smaller municipalities where there was a problem of communication with the mayor. I don't know whether was it still in Limpopo. The committee had resolved that the better way would have to be a physical oversight with O.R. Tambo and Amathole. So to engage deliberately on those particular matters. I am saying, therefore, Chair, I don't remember us receiving that draft report and adopting it, unless otherwise I had wanted to be sure whether is Mr. Solomon agreeing with me on those particular matters. And if that is the case, what remedial action then the committee would have to do, in particular in those areas? Because a similar matter was also when we had an oversight in KZN with the district of Uku, where there were serious issues. Almost over 100 municipal employees were expelled because there was definitely fierce infighting in the municipality. And we agreed when engaging the community that we will have as a committee to once more follow up on that particular municipality. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. I suspect for purposes of adopting this report on the Free State, I think the officials are noting the comments. My follow-up consistency was also talking to this report to say, as we make all of this, we must not forget on areas where we said, for instance, what prompted me was the question of qualifications of a CFO. I was just seeing that, and I could imagine that if we need to know what happened to that. I don't know what we said must happen. But I think we should be noting those issues raised by Honorable Mpumza. Unless there's a quick response, but if it requires processing of all those issues about Amathole, O.R. Tambo, Uku, Limpopo, Mr. So command.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Why am trying to be slow and say Sokoman? I hear them saying Solomon. So yes, I was not sure now whether it's me who is wrong or.
No, you are always.
It was the slip of the tongue, Chair. Sokoman.
Okay.
The Chairperson is always correct. Chair, we all the oversights we did in Northwest, Limpopo, KZN, and Gauteng, the draft reports have been produced. I can remember the one for Limpopo was even 80 seat and tabled in the house. The others ended up in the office of the previous chairperson, and they had not yet been discussed before the committee, as far as I remember. With regards to the virtual engagements in the Eastern Cape, it was not a formal oversight as such. So it was the normal process of conducting oversights, just like we do with other entities that report to the committee. So there was no oversight report that was expected in terms of the engagement with Amathole and O.R. Tambo. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, but I think we are saying that there are those issues, we are noting them, and you have helped us to say there is a report that was adopted and what is the, but we'll follow up on all those. Can I get a proposal for the adoption of this report, Free State?
I so propose, Chair.
Proposed. Any
I
second?
So seconding, Chair.
It's aborted and the report is adopted. Let's move to the next report. The oversight report in the Eastern Cape. Can we have it? Thank you. We can see it now. I think you can start moving it. Draft report. I think you can see, because it was from the 3rd to the 8th of July. Okay. Anybody would say my name is not spelled properly, can do so. Now let's move to the background and so even this report was received some time ago.
Sorry, Chair. My yes. Network is still locating. Where I am, there is no network. I can't see even whether my name has been okay or not because of the network. Yes.
Your name, let me see.
Correct.
It's correct.
Okay.
Somebody is helping you.
Thanks very much. Correct.
Okay.
Hey, Chairperson, I can't hear anything. I don't know where is on my side or is on your side. I can't hear anything.
No, we are not talking. We are reading. You can't see the presentation?
Yes, nobody. Chair, I can't see it. It's still locating. I don't know. I don't know what is happening in this area. Thank you.
No, it's that area. Otherwise, the rest of us, you can see, but we are not talking. We expect any member, when they see something wrong or whatever, or to, I was even saying speak without even raising your hand. Because when I put up your hands here, it blocks my vision. But otherwise, we are moving with it. Now we are at almost at the last point where we're talking about Buffalo City. Input by Alfred and so on, District Initiation Forum. I think that's where we started. But the report, the way it is written, it will be input by them, then committee members, and we proceed like that. But any member who sees anything must stop me.
Chair.
Yes.
Honorable Msimang, yeah.
Yes, Honorable Msimang.
On the report, that Sokomani will have to assist me. I have not picked up the issue of the age. Currently, as we were doing the oversight on the IPUMA, the last oversight we did, there was something very interesting that we saw in that Kulela Puma, where the law currently speaks about, I think it's about, is it 30 and above for somebody to qualify? 16. 16. 16.
Yeah.
You allow honorable members, Mpumza, honorable Msimang to finish what he wants to understand. Honorable Msimang.
Utatu Pumza, we are sure. Okay. Now I'm saying we then said we must raise it as our recommendation. So it might not be in the recommendations, but it might be in the report. You see, now I'm now disturbed. I'm now talking while I'm also reading. But okay, be that as it may, let me finish my point. So what we then observed there was that you might find that, in fact, there was a scenario where you are able to find a young man who is lesser in terms of the age performing that responsibility much and way better than the person that is older, which is allowed by the law. Now, we then said maybe looking at the fact that the society that we live in is revolving, and these skills are now with young people, some are much younger, maybe we might need to consider the issue of age, because apparently for you to be in Ngcebi, there is a particular age that you must be at in terms of the law, while on the ground is in Ngcebi, as Ninzi, some of them are much younger than what the law prescribed. So we then said, maybe it might be correct as a department, because part of the things that needs to happen is that as members of parliament, while we do laws, when we go and do oversight, if we see that these laws are not able to be correctly applied on the ground based on prevailing conditions on the ground, we have a responsibility to come back and then say and correct the issues of age and so that it fits exactly as and when communities are applying the law on the ground. I remember the words of Honorable Hadebe when he was saying, because the laws that we are doing are not 10 commandments. It's something that you can be able to change, provided you have managed to see that it is not possible to apply it on the ground. So I'm saying, maybe, Chair, let me not elaborate on it. I think I've made my point across. The issue here is just the fact that there is maybe as none that can be able to perform the work better than what the law can prescribe, as we speak. So it means we've got to look at the issue of amending the issue of age in terms of who qualifies to be in AB. I'm not sure whether it did apply Guma Kangata or, but what I noticed is that it deals more with in AB more than Ama Kangata.
Ndiyabulela Rasla. Okay. No, I think let's note it. If it is reflected, yeah, it's fine. If it is not, I think at the end, will note it. In fact, it's part of oversight, what you are reporting about, what we saw there, and relative to the law, this is what we saw. As to what can be done about it, I'm sure over time, as we do this work, we'll be able to recommend what needs to be done. Unless Mr. Sokoman, you want to say something?
No, Chairperson. From the sites we visited, most of the time we couldn't interact with the traditional surgeons themselves. I recall that some of them didn't want to meet the committee. So I just cannot recall a site where we actually met the Ingcibi and found that they were, in fact, younger than the prescribed age in terms of the act. I cannot recall that part.
Okay. Chair. No, maybe let's note it and say it might be an area that we want to focus on and check, because the law would definitely prescribe what needs to happen. Then relative to what we observed in our different areas, if we want to do further study on that, that can as well be done, so that we can then advise, when I say advise properly, the process of amending the law, it is a process as well, but it gets informed by the general observation that we make as we visit. Somebody was saying, Chair?
Yes, it was me, as a Chair. I just wanted to check quickly with Andile there. Whether those challenges will indeed reflect here, because I just want to ask whether there is a certain relationship between the investigations of the police on culprits vis-a-vis the quarterly reports that we receive from the NPA, SIU, and the Hawks, whether those should or have not reached tasks discussed or followed up at this level, Chair, because remember that there is a Tamaha who was forcing that child there in Mthatha, the 15-year-old was forced there and he was not treated well due to the fact that that Mr. Tamaha actually, I mean, that particular person, the surgeon, actually in Tamaha wanted to have a relationship with the mother. And then there's a second one where you have a China who ran away even when you went there, when we divided ourselves, who is the second offender. So I just wanted to ask if it should not reflect under challenges. I don't know where Andy should reflect those things, because we found some serious irregularities just apart from the issue that was said by Honorable before, who spoke about the. Now the issue of that Ingcibi, there is that issue. We found that issue in Limode. So I was there with the honorable member, and he had a problem with the papers that were not even sent to him. And we recommended that he be attending within 14 days, he be attending the workshop. Because these papers, he had all the papers, he had all the data, but it was not collected from him. And he didn't know much about the law. And we even asked him with the honorable member as to what would he want you to see on his own, because there was a death that happened as a result of an infection of the lungs. And he said that there's a problem with communication. And communication and the availability of the police who were not picking up. I think it was the and the ambulances that were not available wherein there was a strike and things like that at the hospital, and such that that child's life was not saved on time. So I don't know, Andile, if you can respond to those issues. Whether they are here, maybe I'm speaking forth here.
I would suggest that before Andile respond, but as you raised those issues, we note them, because the report itself might be stale now, because we have received a report from the province, which is actually updating some of these issues we observed, like on the issue of criminal offenses and investigations and number of deaths. There are changes in terms of what actually happened. But I think what we want to adopt is our report as we visited the Eastern Cape. But one would suggest that let's go through it, then note the issues we want to raise. Unless it's something that we want to correct, that we see it here. So maybe let's say note your issues at the end. Then we would raise when you have not seen it completely.
Okay.
Can we move then?
If I may note here, the matter that was raised by Honorable Msimang, the reason I missed it is because the delegation was divided into two groups. So the issue was in Libode, and we went with your group chair to Ezinkumbin. So, but we'll note it and then include it in the report. And also, Chair, here we also reflect on the issue of China as well, as raised by Honorable Tsaiza.
Sorry, Andile. Chair.
Yeah.
I can't see. I don't know. I can't see the. We went to Port St. John's there in that municipality. Then we proceeded to the mountains there, where we went down the mountain. The 18 initiates ran away. In that, in fact, some were even looking at us from a distance, calling the people from the village. It's my eyes. Sometimes it's my eyes, so don't worry.
Andile,
I think, Chair, this is the place also. This is China's place as well, where some initiates also ran away with the surgeon. So it was reflected earlier as well. If I may go back, it is reflected here.
China is in Nyandin.
It's somewhere else. China is somewhere else.
It's in Nyandin. I remember this one of Port St. John's, where we had to go down a cliff, and some of us, we couldn't get down to that place. It was in Port St. John's. But I think you must find a way to capture it if it is not captured. But it would indicate the same trend where boys run away and the traditional surgeon or traditional nurses as well. They could see us coming down and they ran away. But what I may not know now is the name of the place, but it was in Port St. John's.
Chair.
Yes.
Through your permission, Chair, the one where China, the surgeon with surgeon in China, Guzele is in Lubode.
Yes. No, that's what I'm trying to indicate. That what Honorable Kaza is talking about is in Port St. John's. In Port St. John's, the common problem is boys who are underage. They are usually taken to these initiation schools down in the river, and it becomes difficult to get there. But we can note that I think we all will need is the name of the area.
Yes, Chair, it was on the 5th, 2022. There were health certificate difficulties there, the fraudulent signatures, illegal initiation schools. Discovered that the boys were communication. There was communication in that boys left before we got to the heart. And then also here, the local initiation oversight committees, forums, suspected that the traditional leaders were benefiting from these things and advocating for normalization of illegal schools, receiving bribes from families and things like that, you know?
No, I think what we need to do then, if there's nothing until the end, so you'll have to share your notes with Andy so that it is also captured here as some kind of scenario that we saw.
Yes, sir.
And here, Chairs, this is the issue of the 15-year-old that was raised by Honorable Kaiser earlier in when we're in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah. And of the girlfriend and all.
Yes. That. Yes.
No, is it captured correctly, Andile, that the boy had the girlfriend or the initial?
No, no.
The Ingcibi wanted the mother. The Ingcibi wanted the mother there, and the mother was not saying yes, and so he abused the boy.
Yes, but there was also a case of a 15-year-old boy who was circumcised forcefully because the father was not happy that the boy had a girlfriend.
Yes, 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 yes. Bread knife. The bread knife scenario.
So the case you were talking about, Honorable Kaza, was in Devon, where the initiate was maimed because the mother refused the surgeon's sexual advances.
Yes, that's the one.
And then earlier, you also talked about 18 initiates that ran away. We also recorded that in Copas.
Copas is not in near Mtanzan.
Yes, it is. It is.
But I'm talking about Port St. John's, the first one, if not the second one. From that district of.
No, we will take your notes on Port St. John's because that's the time we lost one another there.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, I remember.
Yes. That is the end of the report, Chairperson.
That's the end of the report with the amendments suggested related to Port St. John's. And I can take your hands now, honorable members. If there are any other issues we want to deal with before we adopt the report? Otherwise, as earlier indicated, we must have received a final report now that will not talk about nine boys who passed on. I don't know how we relate this report, which was earlier, and the latest, that was a closure report of the season. Maybe it might not form part of what we are supposed to do. I don't seem to see any hands. Then, if no hands, let me get a proposal for the adoption of the report with the amendments that you suggested. Honorable members. Honorable members, let's adopt the report.
Chair?
Yes.
I move, Chair, pending the amendments.
Yes. Adoption proposed with amendments. Any second,
I saw second, Chair.
Supported. And I think we are clear about amendments that are required. And there will be interaction between yourselves directly with Mr. Sokoman. With that, honorable members, that concludes the business of the day for the committee. And thank you very much, all those who were part of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks.
Bye,
bye, Chair.